For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 140, Kaplan.
Wow, 140, baby.
My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. Also, the pod's on Instagram.
Right, and we're on See Alive right now.
And we're live on See Alive every week, people.
Not every week, but we will post on Facebook and on Twitter. On Lost in America Pod, when we're going to be doing the See Alive episodes.
So you can see it when we record it, which is 4 p.m. on Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern on Fridays. It won't come out till 3 days later, so you can get a sneak preview of the. It's not a preview, it's the whole episode.
It's the real thing, yeah. You could be the smart one among the fans who knows what happens already.
And if you hang around for a few minutes after the show, we talk to everybody who's watching on See Alive. We bring them on screen. We go back and forth.
A little video chat.
Kaplan, you can find us on Instagram at Lost in America Pod, is what I'm getting at. On the podcast today, we have our old buddy Andrew Heaton.
The Mighty Heaton
is back. The Mighty Heaton has his new podcast called The Political Orphanage. I was on it the other day with Andrea Jones Roy.
A controversial episode, I heard.
It was very controversial because we were talking about women's soccer, as we talked about last week on the pod. Yeah. Women's soccer, all of a sudden in America, no one had ever heard of soccer in general. No one ever watched a game in their life. And then overnight, they were experts.
In the pay system.
And then not only were they experts on the sport, but they were experts on how much everyone should get paid. They had intricacies. People don't know how much football players should get paid. They've been watching it their whole life. But all of a sudden, overnight, everyone knew how much women's soccer players specifically should get paid. So I was the voice of reason over there.
They should get paid more money.
And we talked all about that.
The crowd.
But we're going to have Heaton on today and talk about his life in Scotland. He has a whole double life.
And we're going to talk about how he's getting paid. He's going to teach us a few things about podcasts.
How to get paid to do a podcast.
Yeah, he knows
we got kicked off of Amazon, which, update on that, we've talked to Blue Shirt Esquire. He's on it.
He hasn't been able to come on the pod yet because he's working on the paperwork first.
He's writing up paperwork as we speak.
Yeah.
He's working overtime. So thank you for all your suggestions you gave us over the past week on what we should do. Should we do a Patreon? Should we do something else? Should we do Walmart?
We're threatening you, Amazon. Bezos is listening. Send that message.
No matter what we're going to do is we're getting Blue Shirt Esquire in here, pod lawyer, and he's going to sue Bezos' ass. So we're doing that. But before that, Heaton's going to come on and tell us all about his double life in Scotland, which I'm very curious to hear about.
This is a new theme of ours, double lives in Scotland. Last week we had a guest pretending to be a Scot.
Yeah, and now Heaton has a double life, and he has a whole, he's a tour guide. I want to hear more about this. He's a Scottish tour guide as an American.
All right.
I
always thought he was Scottish. So
cultural appropriation.
We'll wait till he gets on to find out.
Cap, but first of all, you gave your dog
a little follow-up, because I listen to the podcast every week.
Okay.
So I hear...
You listen to our podcast.
I listen to our podcast.
Yeah, good for you.
And I mentioned, last week I mentioned I went to Canada.
Yep.
And when I was in Canada, one thing I didn't mention was that I went zip lining with my kids. Like, I had done it a few years ago, but now I've done it as someone who's had a heart attack.
Sure.
It's a very stressful thing. But luckily in Canada, there's secondhand pot everywhere. I didn't tell
secondhand
you.
Secondhand weed?
Weed. Real weed is everywhere.
Secondhand?
Yeah, you're getting it. You're getting a little high. People are smoking, like, in public. It's, like, legal, I think.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant you're getting it. I got it.
That was in my head, is what I'm trying to say. Because when you're up, it was a very stressful.
You were high.
I was high, which is the only way I could, because it's, like, a real stress. It's, like, a real test for your heart attack if you could go up really high in the air with, like, a child and make sure they don't. It's a lot going on.
Okay.
I'm trying to imagine it. So, anyway, my dog's very anxious. Pancakes Kaplan, official dog of the podcast. When there's thunderstorms, she freaks out. And this, I'm in a store in Saratoga Springs, which is where?
It's in New York City, state.
New York State, yes, thank you. And we had to buy pancakes a present, and she doesn't need crappy toys anymore. She's an old dog. They were selling hemp for dogs.
Good.
They promised it would reduce anxiety. I remembered our guest. We had how long ago was our hemp episode?
Couple months ago, we had the guy who grows weed up in upstate New York.
Yeah, and he talked I listened to that episode, and he really sold me on hemp.
The benefits of hemp, medicinal.
Yeah, so I said, I'm all in. I paid for this $40, $50 thing of hemp for my dog.
Oh, wow.
It was a giant thunderstorm in New York City the other night. I get their alert. You get those alerts on your phone, like where you said, severe thunderstorm. Gave her the hemp. Within 30 seconds of taking this hemp, she peed all over Teddy's map. He's a map of the world he had spread out. He was looking at all the countries. Yeah. Is he related to it? She just peed everywhere. So my point is, I don't think hemp, I don't think it's for pancakes.
It doesn't work?
I think we lied to the audience.
Are you anti-legalizing drugs?
I'm anti-legalizing drugs.
No.
It led to my
dog
peeing all over.
No,
I'm not pro-building a wall. I don't know why that's related.
Oh, you're just anti-legalizing drugs for animals.
For animals, yes.
Okay.
You don't know. They need more testing, I think we need.
More testing. Glad we cleared that up. Cap, we don't have any sponsors anymore. We've lost everything.
We lost
Amazon. We got rid of Ents.
Yeah,
we kicked them out.
You know that Ikram came crawling back. We should tell everyone. There was some he tried to woo us back the other night.
Oh, he did?
He invited us over for drinks.
Do you know that, producer Matt? Our old studio tried to get us back.
I'm not letting you go anywhere.
Yeah.
You're mine now.
Yeah, he brought us over. We talked about Ents, the future, how we could be part of it. He really is trying, but we gave a commitment to stand up.
We did, and we had our lawyer there, too. We had Blue Shirt with us.
Oh, he was there. You're right.
Why do you think we brought in an intern last week to impress you guys?
I know, and he also, he was here earlier on this week's episode, too.
Yeah, but Matt won't let him speak on
Producer
on
Alex.
The mic, so.
So
yeah, he hasn't earned that role yet.
We're here to stay. We love Producer Matt. We love
so
Canada.
So we're not going back to Ents, so we need other sponsors. Is that what you're saying?
We need more sponsors. We need something. We're going to ask Andrew when he gets in here how he does this with Patreon. I hear tens of thousands of dollars a week doing his thing.
Tens of thousands of dollars a week. He said he was lower, upper middle class or something based off his podcast. So
lower and upper.
I don't know how much that means. I don't know what that means.
Cap, should we get to Lost in America?
Yeah, let's play the music.
Play the music. Kaplan, I'm lost in America this week. As you know, I need your help. As you know, I've been married for 3 years. One thing that Americans...
You just celebrated your anniversary. Congratulations.
Just celebrated my anniversary. We went to the Botanical Gardens, which is a very married people thing to do.
It's a married people thing to do, or you do it with kids. You'll do that again in five, 6 years. Yeah, it's just like... I don't know what else
year three is Botanical Gardens. Is year five apple picking? When does that come in?
I held out on apple picking. I didn't only do that with kids. I never understood people who do that.
How
is that romantic? It's, apple picking, it's hell.
No one wants to be there.
Go to the supermarket.
Everybody,
buy some apples.
Everybody's
apple
sweating,
picking.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a segment of society that loves to do things that they would never actually do for a job.
Right.
But they want to pay to do it.
Or they wouldn't even do it if they were by themselves or with their friends. They would do it with the date.
Couldn't pay them to go pick apples, but if they pay you, it's like somehow they love to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking about white people.
Yeah,
here.
We're very white people. Pumpkins, all these things. It's a whole...
Yeah, exactly.
But there's going to be a year where you just do nothing. That's what you really look forward to. We're just it was our anniversary. We missed it.
Wait, no, that's every husband. That's what we all want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing. So that's what you can look forward to, like year six.
Anyways, point of what I'm talking about here is a big thing that Americans love to do when they get married, which I've never heard of anywhere else I've traveled in the world, but not only do Americans love to do it, I found it's the law you have to do it to be able to renew visas, is you have to have a joint bank account.
Americans, what do they say about Americans? They love joint bank accounts.
Americans love joint bank accounts. If you're married, you have to join the money. And to me, on the surface, I was like, this is ridiculous. I don't want to do this because I don't know. But then once we joined our bank accounts, I realized...
Right. You had asked me about it a few months ago.
I was nervous.
Yeah, you were nervous about it.
But now that I've done it, I've completely 180.
You flip-flopped.
I'm a flip-flopper. Here's why. Once you join the bank account, I can spend all my wife's money. She has no idea.
Yeah. It's a joint bank account.
I know.
But she's not checking?
No, well, you're kind of checking. You don't know if you spend it or the other person spend it, so I can just spend her money.
Right. That's why people love polygamy. It's the benefit. Because if you have like if you have like 10 wives and you have a joint bank account with all of them,
yes,
nobody knows who's spending or what.
It's like, it's an economic thing.
It just gets lost in the shuffle.
It's like the Civil War.
I don't know which one of my wife likes flowers or like, spends that much on
you get
bags
10
or,
times the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. You get, even if your wife, if you both are working and if all 10 of you are working, whatever,
yeah,
even if they're not making a lot, it gives you more money than you had if it was just you working.
Yeah, say you have 50 grand in your bank account, right? But then you have 10 wives and it's a joint with all of them. They're all, even if they have a grand each, now it's 60 grand.
I wonder, do they get it? Where they each share a bank? I got to find out. We got to get a Mormon on. We've got a...
To find out
maybe
how
he knows. Polygamy.
To find out polygamy and joint bank accounts work.
Do they call it something else?
The other thing is if you get into tax trouble with the feds, which, you know, not everybody pays, not everyone's square with their taxes, right?
Right.
Not name
this
a name.
This one's being videoed, so you can't do air quotes or winker.
Yeah,
you
pay exactly.
Your taxes.
I'm just saying not everyone does.
Okay.
I'm not saying me or you or who or Blue Shirt Esquire.
Producer Matt over there, I don't know what he's reporting.
But if you don't pay, if you somehow forget to pay 1 year and they come after you, guess what? You got a joint bank account. You blame it on the wife. She goes to prison. You're scot-free.
That works.
It's great.
That's what the rich people do.
At this point, I can't find a downside with a joint bank account.
You can't find a downside.
I can't find something negative with a joint bank.
Do you want to find a downside? Is that why we're here? Or no?
Well, no. My initial idea was that it sounded horrible because it's like you spend your money, I spend my money, and let's, you know, go about your business. And then America makes you get one if you want to renew green cards.
Right. So that all, but so you have to keep it forever?
I guess forever.
Because I could always check.
Well, she becomes a citizen, maybe not.
Do you have like your own account too? Or do you just have joint? Because
no.
You can do both.
No. Have our own, and then we have a joint.
So are you funneling, keeping all the money, you know?
I'm funneling things back and forth, up, left, right, and center.
Yeah, you have joint credit cards?
That's
the other thing. Your credit cards joint?
We do, but we don't use those. We just
you don't use credit cards?
No, we don't use the joint ones.
Oh.
Yeah, but
yeah, we've never done that, but that's...
I keep money funneling.
Funneling.
Which I've heard is, well, that's a good move.
Yeah, you're writing
it off.
Because
you want to stay one step ahead of the law.
What are you funneling? What does that mean?
No, you just move it from account to account to account.
You just spend your days transferring money.
Yeah!
With no real rhyme or reason.
That's a good way to get out of stuff.
It's a good way to feel productive.
Yeah.
Just transfer some funds.
Opening accounts, closing accounts.
You keep all the passwords. You got to keep track of that. It's a lot of.
I have those all in an Excel sheet on my desktop.
Okay. All right. So burglars.
Yeah.
Coming to your house.
Beware. Anyway, that's my idea on joint bank accounts. I'm for them now. I was against them.
All right. So this is a follow up, Lost in America.
Lost and now I'm found.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. That happens sometimes.
I've been saved.
We said last week we needed a word for when being really lost leads to a good thing.
Yeah.
We need another word for like when something, you've solved it, like you've actually come around on something.
You're right. I don't know what that is yet. If we were better writers and we would think of segments in advance, we could have come up with that. But
don't enter us at gmail.com or hit us up, Lost in America Pod, on Twitter, Instagram with ideas, because we need ideas.
We need ideas.
Clearly.
Cap, I think I want to get Andrew Heaton in here. I want to find out how we're going to make money, and I want to find out what he's doing, what he's getting up to over there in Scotland.
Let's bring him on in.
Bring on Andrew Heaton. All right, we're back with our guest, Andrew Heaton.
Hello.
Welcome back, sir.
I'm home. It's good to be back in your podcast.
It's good
Thanks
to see
for
you.
Having me. New digs. I like it.
New digs. You seem like your leg.
I'm hobbling around.
Hobbling in here.
So for people that can't see me, I'm wearing one of these kind of cyborg boot things because it turns out I am not nearly as good at hiking as I thought I was. Mm. And I was in Santa Fe a fortnight ago and jammed my foot in a hole and it hurts a lot. And New York is super fun to get around with if you've got a cane and a boot.
So it's 100 degrees out.
Oh, it's so. So I looked this up. The humidity rate, 68%. It's terrible, which by law you're not even allowed to do.
Oh.
So like that shouldn't be a thing.
Do you jam your foot in a hole? You get it stuck there? How does that...
I don't want to go in depth on this. But right. You know, you twist your foot funny, and like at 18 you're fine, but at 35 it just breaks. So, the upshot is people are nicer to you if you have a cane.
Yeah, much nicer. A cane is a good look. It makes you dignified.
And when I'm on the subway, do you know who gives me seats? Women. Women none of the dudes are, but women are like, "Are you okay? You want to sit down?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do," because I have to lug a bag around too.
I can't tell you how much I miss when I used to have this life vest after I had the heart attack and I had this big thing, and I would just take seats from women
children.
You
were afraid of drowning? How did that work? What was the?
It was like this vest that would shock me back to life in case I, you know, had a heart attack.
Wait, so you had like a defibrillator?
Yeah,
vest?
Defibrillator, right? Yeah. So I used to flash that to women and children to take their seats in subways, and now I'm really just I can't do it anymore.
Stopping traffic, taking
I was
people
like
out
old
of their
people
car.
Stand. Up, I got this. Look at this. Hey.
So no, it's pregnant ladies.
Pregnant ladies.
Up.
How pregnant are you? Come, on, I might drop dead here.
Which trimester?
I quite like the cane because now
the cane's good.
Everyone else now realizes how not dangerous I am.
Yeah.
Because like previously, if I'm walking down the street, like I kind of look like an angry Abe Lincoln, and so people aren't sure what. But if I'm hobbling down the street with this cane, people are like, "Oh, poor guy."
Yeah,
good. You've now assessed me at the correct level of danger.
Right. You've taken a pity. You got a little pity from everybody you see now. The cane.
Yeah, I might keep
much
it.
Much better than crutches, a cane.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, catch us up on your podcast. Wait, first of all, you have a new podcast.
I have a new podcast. So it's called The Political Orphanage.
Yeah, and so previously, the one we, Cap and I, were both on over at The Blaze was...
Something's Off with Andrew
Something's
Heaton.
Something's Off with Andrew Heaton. Done. Political Orphanage. I've already done this. Episode 2, I was in.
Yeah, you were in real early. You were the first one on Something's Off, and you were the second one.
Yes!
Next week, when I kick off whatever the third iteration will be,
you'll be back.
Yeah. Like a mighty phoenix rising from the ashes of Something's Off with Andrew Heaton, The Political Orphanage is born. So I'm doing a weekly... I was doing a daily program. Now I'm doing a weekly program.
That seems easier.
It's a lot
easier.
How
did you do the daily program?
Daily
program.
That would insane.
Really kill me.
So like being funny people, I think you can appreciate this more because I was writing one or two sketches per show.
You were writing the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like a well-written podcast.
It was, and it was like and I liked doing it. It was a good, it stretched me creatively, but it, oh man, because like by Thursday you come in and you're like, everyone's going to realize I'm a fraud. I don't know.
Because at some point you're like, I'm not funny today.
Yeah.
But I have to write this show.
You gotta hire some writers.
So I do the weekly show now and I do the same thing. I do like, you know, 15, 20 minutes of scripted content. And then I bring on one or two guests and we talk about it. It's called The Political Orphanage because I think that there are a bunch of people in the country that aren't really enthusiastic about red team or blue team, and they didn't sign up for the slap fight they're doing forever.
The alt middle.
We're the alt middle.
However you want to call it. I'm just like, I wanted to eat brisket. That's what I showed up for. I thought I was going to eat brisket, and then everybody's screaming at each other, and I'm like, do I have to participate in this? And the answer is I don't have to participate in it, so I'm doing a podcast for all those people.
So fantastic. Mm.
Several people have come over from you guys, which I really appreciate that. I've had people reach out. It's usually an international audience. I've had people that are in China.
Great.
That have come over.
That's what we do. We're kingmakers.
So you all are bringing over my international globalist contingency for which
a
I'm
globalist. Oh, we have a big globalist audience.
Kaplan
big fans
doesn't
of mine.
Like that word.
Our globalist fans are really upset about my Holocaust Museum story last week. Let me just tell you.
I know you had Jeremy Kerrigan who we were talking about.
Yeah, he's a real globalist. Great.
He's a real global.
Jeremy's great. Yeah, that arch playwright, writing globalist type. Now, he's fun. I like Jeremy. I'll bring him on soon.
One of our favorite blowhards, as we call him.
Yes, one of the best out there. And what I love about this is that you've gone, you're indie.
Yes.
Indie. You joined the indie world.
We were indie, then we sold out. Here at Stand Up New York.
We're still pretty indie. you were corporate before.
I worked for The Blaze. I worked for Reason. I worked for Fox Business. I had a good time working at all of them. But when you do that, you're sort of vaguely culpable, or at least people presume that you're like the average of everyone else at the network.
Yeah.
So Fox Business, for example, I get along very well with Kennedy, who I worked with. I'd be like, if Kennedy were running for Congress, I'd go be her press secretary. Love Kennedy, right?
Let's get Kennedy in the pod.
Don't have a lot to do with, like, Sean Hannity and that lot, right?
Yeah.
But when I was in New York, people were like, oh, Fox, so, like, you hate immigrants? And I'm like, no, why would I? No.
You know what's interesting about that, if I could stop you for a second? No one ever – Terry Bradshaw works on the Fox football show. No one ever asks him, like, ooh, Fox.
Well,
he does hate immigrants,
Terry Bradshaw.
Isn't Simpsons on Fox?
Yeah, but
that's different. It's a different department.
But it's the same company.
But it was a different department.
He was a different department.
Well, people didn't know Fox Business was a channel.
That's true. That's a good point.
And there are a few people at Fox Business, like Lou Dobbs is on there.
Oh,
right?
God, yes.
Yeah. Fox Business and Lou Dobbs
is a very good example of somebody that I should not have to carry water for.
Yeah.
But no, now that I'm indie, though, people are like, you're the political orphanage. Like, what's your thing? And I'm like, well, I don't like either party, and I'm funny, and I talk to thoughtful people. And they're like, well, I guess I can't hate you. And I'm like, yes, mission accomplished.
And
that's all
thing,
I wanted.
The thing that's great about it is the money. It's like you connected to your fans. You have a Patreon account. They, if they like it, they give you money. If they don't.
That is a game changer. So what's really cool about that, I talked about this the episode you came on, before you came on, Turner, is so previously, like, my boss was the network, right? And my audience is not the same thing
upstairs.
As my boss.
The suits.
Yeah, and like they might...
Old Matt over here.
They might be very nice, but they've got a different... They've got their own priorities. The audience is different. Now my audience is my boss, and it's awesome because I'll get like a message on Patreon. The second I get that, I'm like, I'm going to go check that. I work for that guy. And it's usually like, hey, can you talk longer? I like you. But if, like, on Twitter, if somebody's like, hey, your episode was too long, I'm like, are you – okay, you're not even giving me a dollar. I don't care. Like, I'm glad that you're listening, but I can – I now know
I see what you're saying.
If I'm taking criticism, I'm going to give way more attention to the criticism from people that are paying me to live than the people that are, like, just showing up. It's great.
And I will say, you have a rabid fan base. I did your podcast – I think it came out a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I like every time I check my Twitter, there's like 75 new comments.
Yeah,
because all these people are debating what we talked about.
I won't even debate on Twitter. Like Andrea Jones Roy was getting into some.
Andrea goes after
really
him.
Kind. Like she was being very patient with someone that wanted to fight her about gender inequality.
Oh yeah,
and I was like,
it was me.
I looked at that. I was like, I'm already exhausted by this. I'm gonna go eat tacos. I won't argue on Twitter anymore. No,
they go nuts. So congratulations to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
What do you think we should do? Should we do a? Should we sue Amazon?
Yeah, absolutely.
You heard how Amazon took us out.
Well, I mean, I think
from our big network. We're at Amazon Network.
The first thing you guys need to do is leak a sex tape. I don't know why that has not been on the
Bezos.
Board.
Bezos.
Yeah.
Do we have one?
We can find one.
Okay.
No, now with facial recognition.
The fake app thing.
You can make one.
Add Jeff Bezos into it.
Okay.
Check out the sex tape. Leak sex tape.
Okay.
No, but again, I'm going to say the Patreon thing's really cool because let's say that, like, you've got your listener base and they're like, you know what? We love it when you talk about poutine from Canada. We love talking about poutine from Canada. And you're like, I didn't realize that was what our paying listeners wanted to hear about. I guess we'll do that more. And you can kind of gravitate that direction.
I don't like to dip my French fries in gravy, but I will do it for the listeners.
Yeah.
Canadians don't like Kaplan.
Oh, do they not?
He goes hard.
You were in French Canada, too.
I was in Montreal, but I realized this time that it's not as French as you think. Every time in the beginning you think like it's French, but there's like a lot of English people there too.
Yeah.
So this time I didn't even pretend. I didn't even try. I didn't botch my au revoirs or whatever. Bonjours. I just said hi.
I've been there. I've been to to Montreal once and I had a good time and it was, and I, as long as I said like, I don't know how to say it now, but I could say, I'm sorry, I don't speak
Bonsoir.
French. Do you speak English? Everybody was really, really cool. That said though, I think Quebec is the Arkansas of France. That's my read on Quebec. It's the Arkansas.
We're gonna
get
some hate mail on that.
Yeah. Producer Matt,
I'll take it. I'll pick a fight with a Quebec.
As
go
our
for
resident
it.
Canadian, producer Matt, what do you think about that?
I mean, most of Canada just makes fun of the Quebecois. They're pretty well hated.
Mark, where are you from in Canada?
Well, it's Matt.
I stand by my original assessment there. Mark, I ask you where you're from in Canada.
I'm from Massachusetts originally.
Oh, are you?
I have dual citizenship.
Oh, are you? See, I find like if you were, so, you know, every like 20 years, Quebec decides whether or not to leave the country or whatever. I feel like if you let all of Canada vote on that, it would have to leave the country. Like if you let people in like Alberta vote on whether Quebec gets to stay in, they would absolutely kick it out.
But if you let Alberta have too much power, they'd also have a national religion.
Right, because Alberta's the Texas of Canada.
Yes,
see,
it is.
I know my Canadian geography pretty well at this point.
Pretty good.
And and Toronto's the fake capital.
It's not the capital?
No, it's Ottawa.
It's Ottawa. It's in the middle because the queen. Yeah, I heard that whole thing.
Capital's never what you think. That's every country.
Now, what was the?
I went to the Canadian History Museum while I was in Montreal. I learned a lot.
Now cool. What was the original capital of Canada?
Oh. Montreal.
No.
What?
Saskatchewan.
Kingston, Ontario.
They didn't mention that. In the Montreal Museum, they made it seem like Montreal was the original capital. There was, I guess.
Yeah, because there's Quebecois who liked to brag about their own importance.
And then it got burned down, the building.
Well, I think that was like the first settlement, right? Because Canada was French, and then the British conquered it, but there weren't anybody else hanging out there, which is why Canada wasn't a part of America.
There was Native Americans. No one talks about what the Canadians did to them.
First Nation, please.
Yeah, if you start history before 1750, I guess it was First Nations there, Kaplan.
What I want to get to is you in Scotland.
Yeah.
What is this? So first of all, I want to talk about you were a tour guide, but you also you moved there in
college.
I've
been a tour guide there twice.
So where were you born? You're born in Oklahoma.
Is Oklahoma. Kaplan thinks you're from.
I thought
Scotland.
You were. From
you thought I was Scottish?
I thought you were.
Is that
you
because I just,
accent?
I'm bearded and I look suspicious. Is that where
beard,
you're getting that from?
Yeah, your accent's hard to figure out.
The older I get, the more like. And if I grow my beard out, I just look like a fisherman on a dock glaring at children. Like I'm turning into this like more haggard guy.
Yeah, you look like a castaway.
You have an unorthodox rhythm of speaking.
Yes,
which I'm told is from Scotland.
Yeah.
Like, and even like even when I'm in Oklahoma and I'm like really leaning into my I think there's some when I was actually my old boss when I was a tour guide, he said that he thought I sounded incredibly American and incredibly Scottish at the same time. And I think the rhythm is Scottish but the pronunciation is American.
Very.
And I think that's it, but I can't dump the rhythm now. I don't know how to do, like if I'm drunk and I'm talking about lawnmower maintenance, then the Okie bubbles up.
There we
right?
go.
But I can't consciously raise it anymore.
So what happened? So how did you become a
lawnmower me.
As you become.
That's like the
Joe's
most.
Talking about lawnmower maintenance is the most Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's like, well, because like, I don't know how to grow wheat. I don't know what you do. I assume right. you mow it. That's all I know, right? So like lawnmowers, I've operated a lawnmower. I can
you're
do
the
that.
Most, yeah,
do
you're that. The most cosmopolitan Oklahoma guest
I can't
ever
believe
had.
You know how to operate lawnmower maintenance.
How did you become a tour guide? Where were you?
I was in Edinburgh. That's the only part of Scotland that I've lived in. When I graduated college, I went to Britain. I was there for about a year and started out in England, wound up in Edinburgh, loved it. Southern England, where I started out, is like the planet Vulcan with wool hats. There's nice things about it. It's not very gregarious. English people, not super cuddly, kind of difficult to make. Like, if you want to make friends in southern England, like south of Birmingham, you go to a pub and you sit there for like, I don't know, a month. And then when everybody else is really quiet, you go, you look dead forward and you go, it's not raining, is it? And if someone goes, no, it's been good weather. Then you offer them a pint, and now you've got a friend. It's like sneaking up on rabbits. It takes forever. like in Oklahoma, where I'm from.
So you have to buy drinks for guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, so this is a whole British thing. You've got to, like, you buy rounds is the thing. You don't buy individual drinks. You buy rounds.
It's less rapey that way. It's less sketchy in general.
It is, but it does lead to more flagrant alcoholism.
Right.
Because, like, you could go, like, you know what? I'm just going to have a beer. No, you can't. Not in Britain.
Oh, because if they buy you, if someone buys you and six other people around, you're a minimum
exactly.
drinking six beers.
So if the four of us in this room go out for drinks after this, we're all going to have to buy each other a round if we're in the UK. And if I were to go, and this has happened to me multiple times in Scotland, if I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to, it's noon. I'm just going to have, like, a drink and stop. They'll go, are we not friends anymore? You're not going to take my pint. Well, okay then. And it's literally offensive. So you've got to do that. So you do that. You know, I hung out in southern England, and I've got a bunch of friends there, and I've kind of figured out how the ropes work. But at the time, hailing from Oklahoma, which is a violently gregarious state, like Oklahoma is a state where if you're driving down the road and you see someone and you don't wave at them, they're like, "What's that guy hiding?" Right. Mm-hmm. So like England's like the opposite of that.
Oklahoma curb your enthusiasm with like that.
Can I ask about the pint thing quickly before we get to that? Is that the buying the rounds? Because I do that sometimes in America, but I'm wondering if I got that over when I was living abroad.
You probably watched a lot of BBC when you were a kid.
But I also hung out with British
people. Just good manners. If someone buys you a drink, you buy the one back.
No, but sometimes I start it.
Oh, you start.
Because when I was living in, maybe I got that from, I had English roommates living over in China.
That's why Venmo has solved a lot of alcoholism.
Because
now you just, people Venmo what they owe.
Do Americans not do that?
Well,
like, I'll get the first round. I'll get the round.
No, we do do that, but I don't think that's in the younger people do that. As
much.
I feel like you might, or you might go up to the bar by yourself and just get a drink, or maybe the waiter or the waitress comes by and you get a drink. So
but if I know I'm hanging out with friends for like the night, right. I'll get the first round.
Americans are big in starting a tab on their own tab.
But maybe that's me.
We're very atomized. Well, the other thing too is like we don't have pub culture over here, right? So like you go to a bar to like. Seduce someone or watch sports in America.
We don't go to a bar that doesn't have a TV on and doesn't have girls.
Right.
And they do.
What is pub culture?
He means like a men will just go to a bar and sit there, like not to watch a game or to hit on women, just to hang out.
So, drink by themselves. In Scotland, well, not, you don't even have to
with
drink.
Friends.
You are going to drink if you're in Scotland, but you don't have to. So like in Britain, Scotland,
wait,
and England.
By themselves? You would go by yourself?
Oh, yeah. So Scotland, pubs are living rooms that happen to have beer in them. The thing is, like, imagine your neighborhood built a living room. That's what a pub is. It's just a living room that you go hang out. You can, like, read a newspaper for 6 hours. You probably are going to drink because it's Scotland. You don't have to. Maybe kids are going to show up. Who knows? So, like, there is a different atmosphere going on. It is constitutively different.
And is it, like, you find your neighborhood? Like, you would know people. You only go by yourself if you already know people? Or you would just go by yourself even if you're traveling?
You'd probably go by yourself either way. But there are definitely neighborhood pubs. So, like, in Oklahoma...
Okay.
the landmarks you navigate by are churches. So like in Edmond, where I'm from, if I meet somebody from Edmond and I'm like, well, what part of Edmond are you from? I'm over on 33rd and Bryan.
Wait, is somebody Oklahoma or Scotland here?
Oklahoma.
Okay.
So for our purposes today, I'm an associate Scot who's been adopted by the good people of Alban.
Okay.
But I'm a native son of Oklahoma.
Okay.
But in Oklahoma, you're like, where are you? You're from 33rd and Bryan. Oh, you're over by like the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Yeah. In Scotland, you're like, where are you? You're like, oh, I'm on Great Neck Lane. You're like, Great Neck Lane. What is that's like? That's like the monkey, the brass monkey, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it's a brass monkey. And like you figure out what neighborhood you're in based on the pub. Yeah.
I was by the Prince Eddie pub in London. That's where I live with your brother. Prince Edward pub. That was our corner pub.
Prince Eddie?
Prince Edward, but yeah.
Okay, so I cut you off, but how you were telling us how you got there.
Oh, yeah. So I went up there, and I'd visited once previously, but I showed up, and I went to the Tron, which is not super divey, but kind of divey bar in Edinburgh. I think it's cleaned up. At the time I was there, you could get like tenants with bits of light bulb in it. Those were your two options, were these sort of two base level lagers. And made friends with these local Scots were like, hey, where are you from? I was like, Oklahoma. And they're like, I want to make sin. And they got me just absolutely royally drunk. I mean, like beyond, like just really bad. And like I showed up like 2 days later. And we went through the exact same conversation where they're like, who are you? Where are you from? Oklahoma. Oh, great. And like we started going through the bartender was like, oh, my God, you guys did this 2 days ago, you morons. And I became friends with these guys. I was over there for a wedding last year. I'm still friends with them. So I had a really good time. I had a good group of friends. Left, came back a couple of years later to get my master's degree in international politics, and that kind of sealed the deal. Where at that point, I had a host family that live in Peebles. I've got like an adopted aunt and uncle. I've got all these friends. Peebles. Peebles is like if a sweater vest could become a town. That is Peebles. Like, imagine, like, you know those...
What does that mean?
Imagine those, like, cute wool cabbie hats. Imagine flinging it into a field through of sheep, and it just sprouts into this cute little Victorian town. That's Peebles.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. I've been over there a bunch. I've got a bunch of friends over there. I got educated over there. I lost my virginity over there. So I feel like a lot of my adult journey took place over in Edinburgh.
And I
go back every... I've been every year but once since 2007.
And so, how long do you stay when you go?
This time I'm going to go 3 weeks. Usually I go a week or two.
Okay.
I try and go over and see all my friends, and then I try and visit a new place every time I'm over there as well. I'm slowly putting together a travel book about Scotland.
And what is it about Scotland that got you?
I don't sweat that much. That's two
beautiful
things.
Up there. Edinburgh is beautiful.
It is all of Scotland is, it looks like a postcard, with the exception of the Parliament, which looks like if Gene Roddenberry... Like vomited over a housing complex. The Parliament's just ugly as sin. Mm-hmm. But everything other than that is just...
Gene Roddenberry.
It's terrible. So
who's that?
That's a great reference.
So Gene Roddenberry is the founder of Star Trek, right? He created Star Trek. Imagine the guy that created Star Trek was like, hey, Gene, you want to design an apartment complex? And he's like, yes, it's going to be a big cube with bamboo stapled to the outside of it. That's the part. It's so ugly. The Scots, they have this terrible thing that they need to get over, which is the Scots are like, you know what? We're not an old country. We're a new hip country. And we built this new, and like, stop it. Just stop it. Just build freaking castles. It's what you're good at.
Yeah.
Build the castles.
Yeah, castles are nice up on the hill.
Yeah, the top of the Royal Mile.
Yeah.
Which actually...
I went to Edinburgh and I went to some bookshop and I bought Trainspotting. I remember the book before. Yeah. And I was reading... I like read like half the book sitting there in that hill. And then I wanted to go do heroin, though. And
yeah.
Just like...
Well, that's the national enemy. Like, you know, like France and England are enemies. Yeah. Like the national enemy of Scotland's heroin.
Is it still?
Yeah, they're doing that. There's actually a Canada connection to that. So there's the castle.
It's Canadians.
The Royal Esplanade is that kind of big, like, stony lawn in front of it.
Yeah.
So... When England was bothering putting together, was it Jamestown and all that, Scotland was not yet a part of the United Kingdom or Great Britain. So the Scots had Nova Scotia over in Scotland, Scotland, right? Over in Canada. They had this one colony. And under English law, if you were going to become like the Duke of Lennox or whatever, you go to Westminster or to London or wherever, and the king makes you the duke. Under Scots law, the king goes to your fiefdom, right? So if the king of the Scots wanted to make the Duke of Nova Scotia or the Duke of Halifax, he'd have to go across the Atlantic Ocean. And he was like, screw that. I'm not doing that. So he just took like a bunch of dirt from Canada and like dumped it in a bucket out on the lawn of the Esplanade. I went, bam, Canada. That's Canada now. And so there's like a 5x5 square that's legally a part of Canada that I think they've like.
Oh, so he would then step on it and then it's like, so, I'm standing in your country.
So you'd come over and kneel and then he'd knight you and you're now the Duke of Halifax or whatever. And I looked into this. They've got rid of all the borders because they like people like me were like, so if I get in trouble with the Scots, I can run to that bit. Yeah. And I'm in Canada. You can't do anything to me. So they won't tell you where it is, but there is like a legal 5x5 on
it's
the Esplanade.
Still part of Canada?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So Canada's part of Europe then. Good trivia question.
Well, nice. It's got like a little outcropping. It's like it's got like an embassy, basically, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
And where were you? So you're in Edinburgh?
I was in Edinburgh and I became a tour guide there.
Yeah. How? Yeah. What?
Yeah. So two reasons. The first one is, and I'll preface this, I've had a lot of jobs, and I've been unquestionably the best thing I've ever been as a tour guide. I'm better as at that
than
I am as a comedian, as a podcaster, 100%.
You seem like someone who, if everyone's listening and you're talking, it's like a great...
Yeah.
It feels like what you're meant to do.
I am an attention.
He had a Patreon for that.
Because I was tip-based. Oh, yeah. I didn't have a salary. I was all tip-based.
But also, if you can just give out facts and information... Yeah.
I'm a comedian with a history degree, so that was perfect for me because I could walk around and be like, oh, this is where the Duke of Beulah or whatever, Buchlich, did blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah, and then I'd put in a clever joke, and then everybody would clap and give me money. It was great. I loved it. And I'll say this, if you're a tour guide, you know as a comedian that like you'd be funny every 30 seconds. As a tour guide, you can like kind of take a break for a minute and just spit off facts and things and then come back around.
You can stretch
that out for 3 hours. So that was pretty – so that's part of it is I've got a naturally good disposition for it. The other reason is the Scots, whenever they join a tour guide company, if it's situated across Europe, they leave and go to Spain. They don't want to be in Scotland. They want to be in a sunny country. Okay. So it was actually very difficult to find a Scottish tour guide.
So wasn't it like you weren't the only non-Scot?
I think I was the closest thing to a Scot. There were one or two, but again, most of the Scots would go to Madrid.
So you would do like city tours, like
walk around? I did a 3-hour walking tour of Edinburgh, and I did a ghost tour as well, and I would lead pub crawls.
Oh, pub crawl. I can do that.
That's great.
Pub crawls are fun. Yeah.
Lead a pub crawl. I mean, just take people to a bar and people pay you?
You basically just feed people beer.
And you just give them stupid facts along the way.
You don't even have to do that. Yeah. Like, the pub crawl thing is you get like 6 pubs that agree to give you some kind of vague discount. You walk people there and you try and like, you know, you just make sure that nobody's like a complete horrendous jerk and then you give them shots in the middle or whatever.
Is it like groups?
Do you drink with them the whole way through?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So your job is just to get drunk every night?
Yeah. I think I did that maybe once a week or so. I think I don't
That's
remember. I wasn't doing
Why
that
didn't
nightly.
I do that,
but it
you
was
do no, those in New York.
It was a lot of fun, and that was also probably the peak of my game too. To where like I could.
Would you
I,
hook up with girls in these tours?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're allowed. That seems unethical.
Because that was the closest thing to a rock star I ever was. And, like
the rock star. You're leading a pub girl.
Second pub. You're like, yeah, that's the one. I don't like her. And then the third pub, you're really charming. Fourth pub, you're like, I'm just not going to talk to her. I'm going to ignore her. Fifth pub, you make out.
Oh, cool guy move.
You're reaching out while you're on duty.
Oh, it was great.
That's not frowned upon.
Whereas now it's I don't know what I'm doing now.
The irony is you just told me people go to pubs in Scotland not to hook up. They go just to drink, and
I figured out how to get game out of it. Now, I mean, now I just have to find women with an Abraham Lincoln fetish. My game is really
Why
declined.
Do you do tours here?
I don't know. I don't think I could hold up as well as I did when I was in Edinburgh. That was a prodigious amount of drinking.
Because you're in foreign country mode.
Yeah.
Your body.
And because I was eating a bucket of fried pork on a daily basis.
You can just drink more when you're in another country.
Yeah. Now,
country
I mean, I had
That's
kale,
a good point.
Kale and eggs today. For That would not be. Whereas in Scotland, I wish I'd have just like a slab of bacon and sheep guts.
They don't eat. Kale is not it. That's a Brooklyn thing.
They don't have vegetables in Scotland. That's not
Scotland.
All Scottish cuisine's basically carnival food with sheep guts. Anything you could buy at a circus, you can get in Scotland except with sheep.
Sheep guts.
On Star Trek. Is anyone – wait, so also these women are – they're also on vacation mode.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
But is anyone – because you know when I always go back to this, but the idea of like – you know when you go to the sushi place and then there's the white sushi chef and like no one wants to eat from him?
Yeah.
Is that the same dynamic?
Yeah, I did like from a tipping perspective and from a tour guide perspective, yes, that did hurt me sometimes.
Because you're not Scottish.
You never tried a Scottish accent though.
I did not do it intentionally. However, I'll say like if you're living in another country for a while, you do adapt. A little bit, right? So, like, if I'm yelling at people for whatever reason, I tend to drop my R's. Mm. So, if I've got a group of 20 people, If I'm yelling, I sound more Scottish than Oklahoman, is what I found. As the volume increases, or the liquor, yeah, I become more Scottish, right? So I think by the time I was doing my tour, people really couldn't quite tell where I was from.
Kaplan didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And I would have been more Scottish over there than when you and I met. But I would never lie. But people would just sort of, and I look Scottish, particularly when I'm bearded. Like people would, I'll go to like a Cayley, which is like a barn dance, and someone will come up and go, "Are you Ian McDougall's son from Skye?" And I'll be like, "No," yeah, and they're like, "Oh, I think you are. You're probably Ian McDougall's son." And I'm like, "I think I'm Joe Heaton's son from Alpha, Oklahoma."
Wait, they have barn dances?
Yeah, they do. They're just like American barn dances.
What's an American barn dance?
I'm really lost right now. No, they're great. Okay, so this is something where every culture outside of America has us beat. Every culture outside of America has like designated cultural dances. Like it's not just Scotland. Everyone gets this except us.
In middle school,
I don't know what you like. In middle school, what we would do is you would basically be frightened of women or the girls until halfway through the dance.
Led Zeppelin song.
Then you'd panic because you're like, we only got half an hour left. Now I got to dance with every woman, right? And then you just hold them by the waist and sway quasi-rhythmically. That was every dance I had until I got to college.
Yeah, that counted as hooking up in my mind.
In Oklahoma, you're almost pregnant by doing that.
I finished my pants on that one.
Yeah. No, so in Scotland, you've got Cayleys, and so you've got, it's like a barn dance. So you've got, there's various prescribed dances depending on the song. You've got a caller who's going to be over there. Is like, all right, up next, it's the Dashing White Soldier. And everybody jumps up, and everybody kind of remembers.
What's the Dashing White Soldier?
You've got various, so you've got like the Dashing White Soldier and Strip the Willow.
I feel like both of those are problematic. Right. Strip the Willow.
The Dashing White Soldier,
Delightful old-timey things. Strip the Willow, you're basically forming a line dance, and the goal, from what I can tell, is you're grabbing a woman by the elbow, like you're linking elbows, and you're flinging her as hard as you possibly can to the next guy, flinging women by the elbow down the
line.
This
is very problematic.
And it's great fun. And then I don't remember what the Dashing White Soldier
is. And the more manly you are, you have to fling them hard.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're like,
no, they're not. They barely touch the floor. They're all bruised by the end of it.
Yeah.
It's a very, like
that pussy.
It's sort of like.
Barely touched me.
Like England.
He barely flung me.
Yeah. They got no muscle. That
England plus Klingons. That's a barn dance. You've got this collar, but the nice thing is, everybody, like, it's all prescribed, so there's no awkwardness of, like, oh, should I ask her to dance? You're all going to go dance.
You're
going
to fling somebody.
Where do you go to these barn dances, though?
Pretty much any like big event will probably have a Cayley. Like, so like a wedding, Cayley. a wedding will have a Cayley to it. Hogmanay, which is Scottish for New Year's, there's probably going to be a Cayley.
They have their own
there.
New Year's.
I'm going to say New Year's came from the Scots. Hogmanay.
Come on.
Okay. But bear with me.
No one had a year before Scotland?
No. They had years, right? But celebrating it was not done.
Okay.
So, and that makes sense, right? Because if let's say that New Year's Eve didn't exist, and I was like, hey, Kaplan and Matt, not Mark, Matt, and Turner, you guys want to come over to my house and get shit canned and then throw a calendar page up? It would be the dumbest holiday you've ever heard. You're like, what? We're celebrating math and dates? No. That's not so the Scots, like, you know, because they just need it. So it gets dark at like 1 p.m. They need some excuse. So they came up with Hogmanay. They've got a giant torch-lit procession, like a proper, like, kill the monster type
torch-lit
procession.
Those are problematic now. Torch-lit procession.
Absolutely. Even before the Nazi connotations, it was like 1,000 drunken Scottish people.
Oh boy!
They were also saying Jews will not replace us.
Well, but they
with an accent though.
The ethnic groups in Scotland are like ginger and not ginger, so the dynamics.
The gingers will not replace us.
Yeah, exactly. They're like the gingers are the minority over there. Yeah. So they're
Hogmanay.
Yeah, you got Cayleys everywhere. They're a lot of fun. I enjoy them a lot. And then when I was doing the only barn dance I've done in like 10 years in America was here in New York. I was dating an Australian
woman. New
York
barn dance.
Went to a barn here in Manhattan, weirdly enough.
Where's the barn?
I don't remember where.
Where's the barn?
It was some bar. I don't remember. They had a barn dance, though. They're
they
like,
called it that?
Up next, it's like the lieutenant from Kentucky. And then it turns out to be the exact same moves as the Dashing
White
Soldier.
Flinging the girls?
Yeah. I was like, I knew everything. I looked like not a rock star, but I looked like I knew what I was doing.
So you knew how to fling.
I knew how to fling.
Southern thing. It's a square dancing or something.
Well, yeah, because all the Scots came over to Appalachia. And then they just were like, okay, well, we're not Scottish anymore. Now we're just rednecks or we're hillbillies or whatever.
Like,
same difference.
200 years ago?
Yeah, like 200 years ago. But they didn't come up with new songs or anything. They just changed the words and we're like, now Scots living in the hills. So.
And what's the move? If you want to fling the hottest chick,
Or like you gotta fling them all.
What's the strategy?
You can't seem like you're doing. Well,
they're generally
cool guy.
They're generally group dances. So, sometimes you're with one person, but generally they're a group dance where you're like with two guys and two girls, or maybe six people, and you're forming like groups of things.
If you want to show off your strength and athleticism, you fling the fattest one because you show
which they call a caber toss,
which impresses everyone with your abilities.
Yeah, exactly.
My doctor hasn't cleared me to do that yet. Still,
yeah, you're already married. You don't need to bother with it. Yeah,
you heard about that guy Andrew Heaton? He's been flinging fat chicks for years.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Let's go talk to him.
Yeah, it shows you your prowess.
The American.
That American over there. It looks like he's Ian McDougal's son, but in fact, he's got very good upper body strength.
He's like Abraham Lincoln with
him. Yeah.
He's the Abraham Lincoln of flinging fat chicks.
I'm going to solve the whole Civil War.
And what do they think of, what are the stereotypes of you, of us, of Americans?
What are the stereotypes of us? So two things. I'm going to say on like a really broad level that's independent of current events.
Yeah.
They view us as the kind of cool rogues of the world. So like,
because we got out. And they wanted to get
out. So we're kind of like the
Empire.
A bunch of my friends had a fixation on Smokey and the Bandit. Like, they just assumed everyone was Burt Reynolds.
Great show.
Like, they never, like, that was like, all of them watched that growing up, at least if they're like 30 plus. And so they're like, Burt Reynolds, that's like the avatar of America, right? And I was like, sure. When I had my going away do the first time, it was a Star Wars themed thing. And they're like, well, of course you'll be Han Solo because you're a rogue who just sweeps in and does what he wants. And I'm like, you have missed. I am definitely like Obi-Wan Kenobi's secretary. I am not even that cool.
Star Wars and Star Trek references today.
But they think we're a little bit more adventurous, a little bit more like a little bit. They infer that we've got a swagger that we may not have. Like as a culture, we do, but like individually, I'm this kind of meek guy.
You've got a swagger,
hobbling around with a cane right now. Yeah. They assume that I'm like smoking the Bandit. I'll say on a bit by bit level, the president makes a big difference. So, like, we were really cool when Obama was in office, and then Trump came to office, and they're
he's got golf courses there. They must love him.
Which they hate.
They must love it.
There used to be this big statue.
It's a beautiful course he sold.
There was a big statue of Braveheart that was in.
Did he replace it with him?
No. It's not even really of Braveheart. It's of, what's the guy that played Braveheart? Mel Gibson. It's literally just a statue of Mel Gibson because it was made in like 1995.
Right.
And like Trump bought it and put it on his golf course. And then he bulldozed a bunch of houses. They don't care for him. He is not a favored son of Scotland.
So they don't like that he got rid of the statue of Mel Gibson?
No, they don't like anything
Trump
about him.
Trump can cite this when they talk about anti-Semitism.
Well, yeah. And Scott,
he got rid of that statue.
Scotland, too. Like, imagine like that. Almost everybody's a socialist, and they have like the independent streak of Texas. Like, imagine Texas as a socialist country. That's Scottish politics.
That's impossible.
I can't even do
that. Yeah, I know. Right, but if you were going to pick a state of the union that's like, screw you, we'll be our own country we have before, it'd be Texas, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's like, they've got a lot of that. They don't like him at all. When he got elected, like I'll go to a pub and they're like, "Oh, sucks to be you. You must hate." And I'm like, "Of course, I don't like him, but it's not like
doesn't right. suck to be you.
I'm not his ambassador. I didn't vote for the guy."
Yeah. And what about? I want to know more about this camper van.
Oh yeah, that's
a
plan.
Because we got to get to the news here in a minute. Okay. But
I was just thinking, I was there by the way during the Clinton years, and that's true. They loved Clinton. He was cool. So.
Yeah.
Well, they love any Democrats tend to
if
be
they're
more
a cool
like
Democrat, though,
world want to work with the world. And then
they just thought Clinton
was cool. Republicans
tend
to be more like, we need to protect Americans.
They like that he was banging on the job and everything. They respected that.
People like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, love that.
Go on, camper van.
Kennedy was big, too.
Yeah.
So you're living in your next move. So you're done with the Blaze. I mean, you're parted ways with the Blaze, right?
Yeah.
Amicably.
Just like us. We both parted ways with our corporate.
We parted ways with Ince.
With our corporate studios.
Ingram. Now we got Blonde John running the show. Yeah. But, we got a boss still to answer to. You don't. You're totally.
I'm my own man.
You're indie.
I'm a stick and bindle podcaster now. I'm just like an old-timey hobo tramp working around the country interviewing people.
And to add to that, you're about to buy, or maybe you've already bought, a camper van.
Planning to.
And you're going to be driving across America, interviewing people, and doing your podcast.
I think so.
I think you might have to lose. If you're going to do the camper van, you might have to lose the beard, the combination. You might get into some trouble with the law.
It might be too much.
Or stay away from playgrounds.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things.
500 feet.
Well, the other thing too is that I've done a lot of the work on this. My SUV, I've got a Ford Escape. Thank you. I'm doing pretty well.
Oh yeah, that's Ford Escape, big lower middle upper middle class.
Exactly. It is a car that fits me.
Yeah.
The towing capacity is like 1,500 to 2,000 pounds.
Is that good?
All. not for camper van purposes. So like a camper trailer, right? Because a camper trailer, the kind that has like a stove and a sink and a bathroom, those weigh like 2,500 and up.
What do you have?
Well, I'm probably going to buy one that weighs like 800. So basically,
are you going to have a bathroom?
You're just talking about a molester van.
I'll have what's called a cassette toilet. So like imagine him bringing a porta potty into the camper is basically it, and then I'll just go to a Cracker Barrel parking lot. That's the plan.
Oh, that's real American.
Where I'm
just gonna
bathroom.
Where are you gonna go? You just don't even know.
I'm gonna go wherever there's not humidity is the plan. My goal for years has been to get successful enough never to experience 90 degrees Fahrenheit. That's my whole goal.
So you're just gonna drive around the country, walk the earth?
Yeah, maybe. One of my friends in Austin, he's got a property that he's turning. It's a studio now, but he's planning to do a lot of really cool stuff with it. And he's like, if you want to stay there and like kind of pioneer this place, I'll let you do that for free or cheap. So I might do that for a couple of months, but it'll be during August and September, and it's so hot.
Austin, Texas. It is hot there. But it's a dry heat. That's what they say.
No, it's
dry
not.
Heat.
It's not. They're liars. I don't know who they are, but they're
liars. I've been there in August when it's like 110 degrees. Yeah. Like, it's a dry heat, though. It's
no,
not like up north.
Right. They're all delicious. Plus, everybody there's crazy, and they like heat. Like, I went to yoga a couple times when I lived in Austin. And they'd be like, hey, it's really great. Do you guys want to turn the heat up a little bit? And they'll turn it up like 120 degrees. So anyway, planning to buy a camper. I spent the last two weeks in Colorado. I might go up to Colorado. I don't know how I would do that to go to Chicago. I'd like to go to Chicago. I'm not sure how I can pull that off because there's no like park. There's no camps or anything.
No.
I might go out to Oregon.
There's campgrounds outside the towns.
Yeah, I might
KOA.
Do that.
But
yeah,
you're going to meet me. It's like a teen tour.
You're going to meet me in Dallas.
I will. Yes, I'm going to be in Dallas.
In September, we're doing a bunch of shows together in the Dallas area.
Oh, you're still doing it? Okay.
Because I'm a road comic too now.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be a blast. Before we get to the news, which we got a lot of stuff for you, we've already promoted your podcast, but what else is there? How do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mighty Heaton. You can, if you want to just see funny videos and stuff, go to my website, mightyheaton.com. MIGHTYHEATON.com. You can find the podcast. You can find funny videos I've done for Reason, sketch comedy, all that stuff. But the main thing right now is the podcast. That's The Political Orphanage. So if you're a thoughtful person that likes funny people, you don't really like shouting, but you like thinking, that's The Political Orphanage.
We're like the exact opposite. A lot of shouting, no money.
You're not, well, hold on, but you're a gregarious, good-natured shouting. You're like when like Italians are yelling at each other, like in a family or whatever.
That's what our pitch for our Patreon, we gotta steal this idea. If you want a lot of ill-informed yelling that doesn't really know what the hell they're talking about, but hard opinions.
But you're not fighting. Quick, that's the main thing.
We have heated arguments about mini hot dogs.
Okay,
speaking
nice.
Of,
yeah.
We gotta get to the news.
Oh God, don't get me started. All right, play the music. First news story of the week today comes to us from CNN. Heard of it?
Yeah, I have.
Gendered language like manhole will soon be banned from Berkeley's city codes. There will also be no, you can't say chairman, no manpower, no police men or police women. Any words that imply a gender preference will be revoked from the city's codes and replaced with gender-neutral terms, according to a recently adopted ordinance. Words like manhole or manpower will be replaced with maintenance hole and human effort in Berkeley, California. Now, here's my first question. Who was complaining about what women were complaining that they were not equally represented with manhole?
You know, the 50% of the utility workers that were clearly ladies going down to the manhole.
They wanted to be called womanhole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go down the womanhole.
I mean, I understand certain things that like, oh, we need representation in that, but I don't think manhole would be the main one.
Yeah, you read that. I was like, we fixed it, guys. This is it. This is where everything changes. This was the big thing impeding progress.
Yeah, and what does that do? Does that really fix the world, or what are we...
You get rid of manhole, and the next thing you know, the women's soccer team is paid fairly. It's just a slippery slope.
You know what? Okay, what are you for that? Are you against that? You sound like...
I don't know.
Instead of making it neutral, what if... Okay, this is my solution. Is you can have a manhole and a womanhole. So make, like, we've got the circle one, that's a manhole. We could have, like, a triangle for the womanhole.
There you go.
And then you could have a rectangle for the non-binary
hole.
Square for non-binary. You could have three of them, and then you get more people holes.
Yes. All right, I think we just solved it. Next story of the week.
It's a record time.
Next story of the week comes to us. Oh, the Shanghaiist. Our old friends in Shanghai, China. Starting next month, you'll have to sort your own garbage or face fines in Shanghai.
Oh.
Look at that. Face recognition may become one way that authorities catch those who violate this new regulation.
Did it mean recyclables or garbage? Let me say sort.
Oh, it's garbage. So it's, I don't know if it says here, let me read. It's way more detailed. I read it in the story. It's way more detailed than we do in America, which is insane because up until like 3 weeks ago, the main way to throw away your garbage was just to throw it in the nearest river. And so people have been doing that for hundreds of years, and now all of a sudden they have to sort. Like I read that cherries and cherry pits go into two different trash cans.
Wow.
It's that detailed. So let me read more. On July 1st, a new regulation came into effect, which required that households sort their trash into four distinct categories: residual garbage, household garbage, recyclables, and hazardous waste. Now, I know that this is an old story, but since then, it's even gotten even more detailed. Those who fail to properly sort their rubbish will face fines between 50 to 200 yuan, which is $7 to $30. Meanwhile, businesses can be fined $7,000. And a follow-up to this is that I've already, within a week of this law coming to effect, there's this viral video that I sent to Kaplan going around China. They take all the trash back to, like, the dump, and they put it all in the same place.
So this is just, like, it's like a drill?
Yeah, it's
just
all
the...
And, like, all these videos came out of people, like, with their cell phone cameras taking pictures of them just dumping it all into the same trash can again.
Yeah, because why does residual garbage and household garbage have to... Why do they have to go to different places? What's the reason for that to begin with?
See, at first when I heard this, I was like, oh, so that's the only reason they wanted all that facial recognition software for all the Uyghurs and stuff. It was, right. It was very benign thing, well, not Orwellian. Yeah. They're just trying to help recycling.
And dumping a body.
You mentioned that they're putting it all the same. Like, wait a minute. That sounds like there's some, like, I don't know, the Dao Ping. What's the name of the head guy over there? What's his name?
Xi Jinping.
Xi Jinping? Yeah, like his kid's like now the head of the recycling bureau or whatever. So he's like, all right, everybody's got to do this thing. I got to justify this job.
But it's like, it's a classic thing that happens in China, which is that the law, a lot of their laws are the same laws that we have on the books. Mm. And a lot of even, I think like the top level government, I think a lot of it's like intentioned well to enforce those laws, but when it gets down to the actual people who have to enforce it, they're like, fuck that, I don't feel like doing
Wait,
that.
Have you hung out in Taiwan very much?
I've been there once or twice.
Been there once, and they seem markedly different in their attitude towards trash. Like, and I don't fully understand. Like, Taiwan, they don't have trash cans, but there's no trash. Like, I don't get it. Like there's, like, the attitude's like, just take your trash home. What's wrong with you? Whereas in China, it's like, just throw it on the ground.
Well, on this podcast, they're the same place, for starters.
Yes, good question.
Yeah, exactly.
They're both China.
Second, yeah. Exactly.
Secondly, I couldn't be able to... I can't even figure out our current American, like, recycling. Like, I look...
Oh, neither can I.
I don't know the difference between cardboard. It's like when you're, like, a box, a container, a carton... But this is cardboard. I can't figure out, like, half the recyclable things, which room to go in.
I know I'm supposed to be funny. Most of it's nonsense. I'm going to go off my rant here. John Tierney's a science writer for the New York Times, and he has accrued the most hate mail in the history of the New York Times.
Mm. We're challenging.
Yeah, let's go.
We like hate mail. We get a lot of hate mail.
He wrote a piece called Recycling is Garbage, and he went through and he crunched the data on this. Basically, metal makes sense to recycle, both economically and ecologically. After that, you're not doing anything.
Metal.
You're just sorting your garbage for the sake of sorting garbage. And people do it, and I'll tell you why. People do it because they want to help the planet as long as they don't actually have to do
anything.
Right,
it makes them feel good.
Right.
That's what I want to do.
I threw all my plastic into a pail and all of my paper into a trail. Yay, me, I'm an environmentalist. Did you donate money to build trees anywhere? No. Oh, did you quit eating meat? No. Shut up. Like, it's like praying or something.
Because there's
like
energy, recycling involves energy to do the recycling. Yeah. There's all sorts of costs.
And like glass. Glass is just hard sand. That's all it is. As long as you're not stepping on it, there's nothing wrong with it. Plastic's bad if dolphins are eating it, but if you're putting it in a place where dolphins can't eat it, it's fine. And then the other thing too is, like, if you're in Wyoming or something and you're carting all your recycling to North Dakota,
it's a lot of oil and gas.
The carbon emissions to get it there. And
Can I ask you one final question about what's your friend's name?
John Tierney.
Where does he stand on plastic straws? That's the definitive.
He's probably not bothered by them, is my guess. I don't know. I have not asked him, but
Kaplan,
doubt he cares.
Give us the plastic straw news that you sent me earlier today.
The plastic straw news?
Yeah.
What did I send you earlier today?
You sent me a text like an hour before the podcast about the Trump campaign.
Oh, that was a tweet I said.
Oh,
you're
fine.
Reading our
tweet. A text, a tweet.
Breaking news, the Trump campaign, this is where it gets tricky. They sent a, they have an official Make America Great Again, like, plastic straw.
Oh, wow.
we post on our Twitter page.
They're selling plastic straws.
Wait, do we need merch?
Politicize straws even that much more?
So, like, I don't want to be on the same side, so we need to take this issue now and make it our issue.
We want to be the
Lost
the
in America
plastic straw team.
Nice.
Yeah, so okay. We have to make our own Lost
so in America. We've been looking for merch for years for this podcast, and I think Lost in America plastic straws might be the merch.
Yeah, I think you should make them like twice as long as the Make America Great Again straws.
Well, that's what someone suggested online. They said we got to make them longer.
Because the other thing is that people, I see some places where they're selling, actually in Montreal, there was this really story, but they're selling these like metal straws that you could bring with you.
Oh, like, yeah, I got one of
which
those.
Which is like, in theory, it works better, but who the fuck's going to carry a straw around
with
them?
No. I have to jump in here, okay? How many, okay, the amount of, unless you're using a solar panel to heat the furnace that made that stupid metal straw, then, like, you're probably using coal or natural gas, in which case the heat you use to make that is so much more than all of the, like, you would need to use that stupid metal straw 40,000 times to negate the carbon footprint of plastic.
My well, my big idea, maybe $1 billion, maybe not, is... If you have a coffee shop, because I can't carry around, they should have a locker, a straw locker, where I can leave my metal straw, because then I can feel good every day I go in for my morning coffee. They give me my straw, I drink the coffee,
I bring
it back.
That's a then, great
like a beer sign. Like a
straw block. Oh, like a beer of the month guy.
Here's my idea that I'm going to give you guys. You know how like cigarettes have filters on them? You guys should make filtered straws. Right, I don't know what it would do, but like think about this. You're like, hey, do you like
air?
You're like, no, hear me out of this, right? You're like, Coke, not that good for you. Good thing I've got this filtered straw. I don't know what it does, but you can just claim it like cuts out toxins or something.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, right. Just put a sponge at the bottom.
People will believe anything.
Yeah,
they will.
There's an idiot born every day. Isn't that the quote?
Yeah.
All right.
Next story. We have two more. We got time for two more, right? Yeah, we can squeeze them in. Next story of the week comes to us from CNN. Again, we're really sticking with CNN here. San Francisco passes ban on e-cigarette sales. Sales. Wow. Not even just smoking them. Sales. A first in the U.S. first. Now, you're a big libertarian, so I wanted to get you this story. What do you think? First of all, for me, I don't know.
But they didn't ban regular cigarettes. That's the important.
No, regular cigarettes you can still smoke. They won't. You can't even sell e-cigarettes. Much less.
Yeah, you can still sell regular cigarettes too.
San Francisco will become the first U.S. city to effectively ban e-cigarette sales after the city's board supervisor unanimously voted in favor of it. I mean, I get it. People who smoke e-cigarettes are douchebags. But you can't
make that illegal, being a douchebag.
First of all, everyone in San Francisco is a douchebag. The whole place is douchebags. Every single Warriors fan is a douche. You want to ban douchebags? Right. Get rid of the Golden
Silicon
State Warriors.
Valley douchebags.
Silicon Valley, yeah, every single one of those people.
Yeah.
Get rid of the whole place.
No one's ever said anything bad about New Yorkers here.
Listen, I'm from Northern California. I have a firsthand experience with both. They're way worse out there. Way worse. Ban every single person who uses the term Bay Area when actually they live in Vallejo.
Oh, whoa.
I'm going real local.
Oh, yeah.
Shots fired Vallejo.
Oh,
man. Anyway, that's my take. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, if San Francisco could ban being a douchebag, I'd be all in favor of that. That would be a pretty cool thing. Like have a resolution there. No, I'm with you. It's the government's job to protect you from bears. And keep your stuff safe from burglars. That's pretty much
it. Great job. I haven't got attacked by a bear.
Yeah, and like it's doing a fine job. And like I guess communists. I would be in favor of the government like keeping toddlers from smoking. Okay, like I'm fine with it. But it's not the government's job to protect you from being an idiot. Particularly with I feel that way about cigarettes. Like sin taxes, where they're putting taxes on cigarettes to punish you for being bad about cigarettes. It's really just a way to screw over poor people. That's what sin taxes are, by the way. They're just I'm a politician. Yeah. I don't want to actually.
A sin tax, not like sin tax we're talking about.
No. Yeah. A sin tax.
Alcohol,
cigarettes.
Sin tax is an economic term. Alcohol, cigarettes.
Pot now has sin tax.
Could be
exactly
pot. Maybe plastic bands would be in there, or plastic straws.
Plastic straws.
Basically,
sin tax.
Where you're wanting to punish people for odious behavior, but it's just an excuse to screw over poor people because if
well, it's an excuse to raise money too,
right?
To pay for the things.
Because if I'm a politician, I don't want to raise money on middle class Turner over here. I'll get in trouble for that. What I'm going to do is do like a gambling tax and then I'll have a lottery and all these things that are going to disproportionately
condoms.
Affect
gambling. You know where they've legalized gambling, you have to pay taxes if you actually win money.
What?
Yeah, like in New Jersey, it's legal. And if you actually make money, you get a form sent to you. Yeah. You're clearing any taxes. That's highway robbery.
Can Gary Johnson run in New Jersey?
It's hard enough to win money as it is gambling. Yeah. You're going to have to give half it back.
Well, I'll add to that. Like on top of the syntax, the vape thing, like the science is not out yet, but I would guess between smoking a cigarette and vaping, probably better for you to vape. So when they ban this, all they're going to do is push people that are already addicted to nicotine back into smoking cigarettes. They're literally going to kill people. Well done, San Francisco Council, for being like a bunch of friggin' Puritans. But all the Puritans didn't go away. They just turned into something else that's even more irritating than the last Puritans were.
And where can you smoke vape? You can vape in El Dorado Hills, right?
Hell yeah, you can.
So all those people in San Francisco.
Come to Sacramento, baby. Yeah. We're a vaping community.
Vape, think you should advertise that.
Yeah.
Like a big billboard.
100% chance of vape in the weather tonight. Last story of the week, Captain. We saved this one for last. This is a very controversial.
This is an update.
This is a controversial issue on the pod. Ultimate Food Republic
released their hot dog eating guide.
I've been on the Food Republic podcast a number of times.
Hot dog style guide, sorry.
They released an ultimate hot dog style guide. They come up with all the hot dogs, all the ways hot dogs are served throughout the world. Mm-hmm. All these places around the world. Now, the one I want to zero in on very quickly is China. So they say in New York, you eat a hot dog. Like they have it's basically just a regular hot dog.
Mustard,
right?
Sauerkraut.
In LA, they have a Dodger dog, which is like an extra long hot dog, right? All these places have different style of hot dogs.
Montreal, they got, can't, yeah.
Then they get to China. It looks exactly like a mini hot dog.
Well, I think they listen to the pod and they're trolling you.
First of all, they're trolling me. Second of all, in China, I lived there for 12 years. No one eats hot dogs, much less mini hot dogs. You eat hot dog maybe on a stick with no bun.
Oh,
in
low
China,
carb.
They eat that. They don't eat, definitely don't eat pigs in a blanket, this mini hot dog thing. And also the idea that in China, Chinese people would eat mini hot dogs, very racist.
So you're saying that's exciting. In my head, didn't go there, but you're saying that because
I mean, it's obvious that they're like, ha ha ha. That's their whole punchline. Food Republic, problematic Food Republic. They're smaller than
us. All over.
Yeah, they eat mini hot dogs. Ah. What's that old David Tell line? My midget friend's gay. He came out of the cupboard. They're doing all that kind of stuff. I don't like any of it.
Bunch of problematic racists.
That's what I said.
I mean, isn't the hacky joke
but
supposed to be
troll.
That you eat a Chinese hot dog and then you're hungry for more hot dogs in a minute? Isn't that the hack joke?
That would be less hacky than than saying they all eat mini hot dogs.
Well, this is the third in a series of debates about mini hot dogs, and I would challenge our listeners in China to, if you can send us any evidence that they have mini hot dogs in China, it would really go a long way to.
And this doesn't mean a small a frankfurt on a stick.
Because this is actually like a dumpling.
This means with a bun.
I mean, it's a picture, but did they make this picture themselves? It's like a.
They must have. No one in China eats this. I want to write hate mail into the Food Republicers.
Yeah, did they just make this up where they're like, oh, there's a billion people.
It says hot dog wrapped in a dumpling-like dough. That's such bullshit.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
So they're frauds.
They're
Food Republic,
frauds.
And you, only someone like you could have figured that out.
You can't just throw the word dumpling in.
Yeah, I think this is okay, so I'm looking at the Japan one here, and it's a hot dog shaped like an octopus.
I've actually had that there.
Oh, is it? I was about to say,
it
seems like a thing, but it also could be made up.
No, I've had that.
I really want the Idaho dog, which is just a hot dog inside of a baked potato with like sour cream and all that.
That can't be true.
It just sounds delicious.
That sounds
though.
Awesome, though. It's like, a great invention.
I don't know if it's true, but they would eat it in Idaho, I bet.
That does sound good. Yeah.
Yeah, so Food Republic have come around, you guys.
Anyway, no. I'm still anti-Food Republic. We're coming after you. Enemy of the pod.
I, if this is true, it just changes my whole, I got to get to China. It's a land of mini hot dogs.
It's not the land of mini hot dogs.
I just walk around eating mini hot dogs all day. Like,
such horse shit.
Devil's advocate with Food Republic, because there's a billion people over there. Could there be like a town with like 30 million people in it that you've not been to?
I've toured every town. I've been Idaho, Mississippi, Missouri, whatever.
I think it's that when Ariel was on our pod and did that thing about the few Jews of China. I think that's them. That little area. They have mini hot dogs.
Chinese Jews.
Because, you know, yeah,
hot
I was at, like a few weeks ago, I was at an event for the governor re-election campaign at Governor Cuomo here, la-di-da. And
ooh la la.
Yeah, and they come out. I'm standing by the kitchen and boom, I came right out. First thing I see was a little mini hot dog. I was like, New York, baby.
I can't
the Northeast.
That. The Chinese have been here.
It's a stronghold.
Yes, the Chinese have been here, exactly. They said these are little Chinese dogs. A little.
That's it.
Thanks,
thanks
Chinatown.
That's the
mustard.
Podcast.
Yeah, mustard in China. It's good. Spicy.
That's the podcast. Four.
Is that mustard they serve at Chinese restaurants? Last thing. Is that totally? Do they have mustard in China, or is that a American version.
No, I mean, they have mustard because we have mustard. Yeah, okay. Like the foreign aisle of the grocery 140 store.
140 episodes, I never figured
Wait,
that out.
Wait, where do they have mustard
at Chinese restaurants in America? It's always like sweet mustard? Duck sauce and mustard, that spicy mustard for the noodles and the egg rolls. No.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he knows it.
I actually don't know what you're talking about.
It's even like, it's like a really spicy mustard that is like really... It's like
hot.
Yeah, it's a hot...
Oh, yeah. So that little, like, there's like two glass jars and one of them's got soy sauce and the other one's got hot mustard?
Yeah, the hot mustard.
No, I don't know.
But nobody ever eats the hot mustard?
Yeah.
Right. It's ornamental mustard.
It's like too hot. Yeah, yeah. Literally too hot for your...
No, they don't have that. I've never heard of that.
Is it wasabi mustard?
I was going to say, are you talking about wasabi?
No,
it's yellow. I know what he's talking about.
It's yellow.
Okay.
And that wasabi is still fake wasabi, though.
Which wasabi?
The wasabi you get in like Chinese takeout.
Wait, like it's all in my mind? Like it's
like real wasabi. Like real wasabi is super expensive.
Oh,
all right.
Was this like green Tabasco?
We're going off the rails. And I'm trying to end this episode.
All right. On that note,
that's the podcast. Really Andrew Heaton, thank you for doing it.
Thank you. This was fun, guys.
Producer Matt, love to see you. Glad to see you again. I missed you.
Welcome back.
Glad to talk wasabi with you guys anytime.
Anytime, Cap. That's it. What should we do?
Let's get lost.
Get lost.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.